Amen. That's it. All the Old Testament pictures of sacrifice were just pointing to Jesus. He died. He was buried. He rose. He took his blood into the throne room of heaven and poured it on the mercy seat to finish the task. And I praise the Lord for that. So I'm excited to hear this morning Pastor Daniel preach to us. So brother, you come on, share with us your heart this morning.
Amen. Good morning, boys. Certainly is good to be with you. I love the sunrise service. Love this morning and what we are remembering and what we are celebrating here this morning. And I think of some verses of scripture as we come to look at these texts here this morning. And we're going to focus on a couple different texts here. We're going to be in John chapter 20, and if you'll put your finger there, and we'll also go look at Luke 24. And look at a couple of passages there, but I love Galatians chapter 2:20. This is a reality. The Bible says, "I am crucified with Christ; nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me." And Christ liveth in me. And the reason why we can claim that truth in the Bible is because Jesus is a risen Savior. He rose from the dead, and it's a wonderful truth. And there's so many, you can look back through in the book of Romans, and you have all these truths in the Romans, and how we're the old man is crucified with him, but as Christ was raised from the dead, dieth no more, and death hath no more dominion over him, and all these truths, and it's a wonderful just comfort to my heart, to know that that I am risen with Christ, and I have life in Christ, and there's many benefits to the resurrection. We're going to look here this morning at several life-changing benefits of the resurrection. And let's go here and let's look at this this first passage here. And let's look at John chapter 20. And let's just read here in verses number 11 through 18. And I've got several scriptures to read here this morning. But this is the story of Mary Magdalene. And seeing Jesus. The Bible says in John chapter 20, verses 11, it says, "But Mary stood without at the sepulcher weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulcher, and seeth two angels in white sitting, one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they said unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back, and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. But Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? And she, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou hast borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself, and said unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren, saying to them, I ascended to my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. And Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples she had seen the Lord, and that she had spoken these things unto her. Now let's keep a finger there, and let's go on over to Luke chapter 24. And I love this account as well. There's just so many great nuggets of truth here throughout the resurrection passages. But let's look here in verse 18. This is the story of the Emmaus Road. And in verse number 13, the Bible says, "Behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 80 furlongs. They talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him." And so, let's look here, verse number 17. "He said unto them, What manner of communication are these which thou hast said one to another, as ye walk and are sad? And the one of them answered, said, Whose name was Cleopas? And answered, saith unto him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem? Hast thou not known the things which are come to pass in these days?" You know, the disciples, they were inclined really to not, they were not inclined to believe in the resurrection. Jesus, he plainly foretold the disciples. He foretold his death several times to them. If you read in the passage, the road to Emmaus, even these disciples that were on their walk to Emmaus, they said, you know, we believe this was the man that was come to really liberate us from the Roman Empire. That's what they saw Jesus. That's what Jesus was going to give the Jews freedom and come and rule and reign on this earth. And that's what they were looking for in Christ. All of the disciples, they thought that, and that's what they were looking for. And we all have a mindset of whatever ministry God calls you to, everybody has this idea of this is how things are going to go. In your life, whatever it is, you have this idea, this is how things are going to go. And then a lot of times it doesn't happen that way, okay? And so we see this in this story here. There's things are not working out like people thought it was going to work out. But we see here that in the end, it is for the best, and God has a perfect plan, and God works through us despite of our imperfections. And you're going to see people here that we can all relate with because they all have imperfections. They all have weak. Some of them have weak faith. They've messed up different things. And there's so many benefits here. And but they would not believe that Jesus was raised from the dead. Now, they would not believe until they saw the resurrected Christ. Okay, once they saw him, they saw those empty tombs, they saw Jesus, that was the great differentiator. That's the great differentiator in Christianity. It's the only religion in the world that follows a God that is risen from the dead. All the other religions, you can trace their founders, and you can go to their graves, and you can see their graves, and those people are still in their graves, but Jesus, he is not in the grave. And in the Bible, there's one passage in one of the accounts of the Gospels that says, come and see, come and see. Yeah. And he said, hey, come and see this empty tomb. And I'd really like to do that one day. Yeah. I'd like to go. Wouldn't you like that? We'd like Jason to go over there and come and see the empty tomb. And you can go and you can drive, you can travel to Israel and you can go. And boy, that would be special, wouldn't it? Yeah. And one of these days, maybe I'll get to make that journey over there, but I believe it by faith, by the because the Bible says so. Yes. The eyewitnesses' accounts. I've talked to people who have been there, and that tomb it is empty. It is the great differentiator. And when the disciples, once they got a hold of this truth that Christ had raised from the dead, they turned the world upside down. Right. It changed their life. They went everywhere preaching Jesus, and every single one of them died a martyr's death. They were not deterred. They were going to go all in with Christ and the resurrection, truth of the resurrection. If it grips your heart, it will change you as well. There's a hope in the resurrection. Our future is in the resurrected Christ, and there's great benefits. And so this truth of the resurrection, it changed their benefit package, so to speak. And sometimes when you're looking at a job, a good benefit package sometimes is more important than a salary. You know, people talk about what's the benefits, and aren't you glad the Lord, the Bible says in Psalm 103 that he loadeth us with benefits. And we're going to look at some of those benefits here. And the truth of the resurrection is a fundamental doctrinal tenet. And there's we're going to look at four great truths here this morning. And we're going to look at first four appearances that Jesus made after that he resurrected from the grave. And the first thing I want you to see is we're going to see the removal of loneliness. And we're going to see that in John chapter 20 with Mary Magdalene. And one of the first people that Jesus came to see in person was Mary Magdalene. Now think about that. Now who is Mary Magdalene? Mary Magdalene was a woman with a past. And the Bible says that Jesus cast seven devils out of her. She was demon-possessed. And what a wonderful, we just had the youth rally, I've been changed. What a wonderful change that God wrought in this woman's life. But, and you know, we would all agree that, hey, that's wonderful that this woman was changed by Jesus Christ. And you think about it, if a woman like that came to church and she had seven demons in her and was full of the devil, and she came forth and she got gloriously saved, well, we would all rejoice. We'd be very happy for her. But at the same time, you know, most people in churches, they probably would be a little hesitant to have that woman working in the children's ministry the next Sunday. They're going to watch her a little bit, okay? And you know, and I believe that's what Mary Magdalene was kind of experiencing here. People were happy for her that her life was changed, but nevertheless, she had a past, and people don't forget your past. And people were probably a little standoffish towards Mary Magdalene. And in this And in John chapter 20, Mary Magdalene, she is all alone. And in the early years of her Christianity, she may have had a lot of times where she was alone. And maybe there's times in your life where you just feel alone based on things maybe you've done or things that's happened to you, and you just feel all alone. But the one that gets her is Jesus Christ. He understands her. And he goes to her first. And he goes to her, and it's not surprising that the death of Christ, the one at the grave, was Mary Magdalene. She had lost a person that was everything to her. I mean, Jesus was everything. She had no one else. It was Christ, and she lost Christ. She's at the grave, and she gets to the tomb, and looks like there's been a grave robbery, and she wants to see Christ. Jesus is the only one that gets her. And Jesus gets you this morning. He understands you. He understands what you're going through. He understands your shortcomings. He understands your failures. And he gets you. And maybe because of those things, you just feel lonely. You just feel like, man, everybody's trying to keep up with this guy and that guy, and you feel like, I'm not like them, and I don't know what I'm going to do. But Christ gets you. And Jesus comes to her. And says, you know, she says, hey, you know, where did she think? She thinks he's the gardener. She doesn't really see him for who he is right now. And says, hey, where'd you put him? I'll go get him. And then he says, Mary. the sound of Christ's voice was all she needed to hear. When she heard him say, Mary, she knew it was Christ. And Jesus understood her. Have you ever felt lonely in this world? Of all the words we use to describe our condition before we get saved, the word is lost. Have you ever been lost? that's a lonely thing. We were in Colorado recently on a missions conference, and when you go to a missions conference, sometimes the pastors and the staff will take you out for, like, they call it a fun day, and our fun day was pretty fun, except for one part. It wasn't very fun. We went to this place in Colorado Springs called Garden of the Gods. And if you ever get out there, I'd recommend it. It's free, but just put your kids on a leash if you do. There's all these trails, and there's these red rocks, and they're beautiful. And there's all these formations, and you can climb up these rocks, and there's these little crevices you can crawl into. And, you know, there's great picture opportunities, but there's trails everywhere. And Jess, everything looks the same, doesn't it? everything looks the same. And so we're all walking around. There's about 20, and it's just crazy. There's people everywhere, and we're trying to take pictures. And we took a family picture, and then it's like, well, we got to get back to the bus. We got to go to some other place, and we got to get back to service and all this stuff. And so we get back to the bus, and I was in the front talking with a missionary, and Jess is kind of bringing up the rear, and our kids were in between us, so we thought. So we get back to the bus, and I'm kind of doing a, Jess is doing a head count, and I said, where's Laura? And he says, well, she's probably on the bus. I'm like, I didn't see her get on the bus. So I run up there, and she's not on the bus. And I look at Jess and she's not on the bus. And, you know, both of our face, our hearts drop, and Laura's missing. So we tell the associate pastor, say, look, we got to go find our daughters in there somewhere in this park. And, you know, you start, man, have you ever had that happen to you? That is not a good feeling. We're running through the park, and man, I'm trucking, man. The associate pastor, he goes running with us, and there's another missionary. He's on a high point on a lookout, and we're all communicating and everything. We go running through the park, and Laura had we took our picture, and there's just like this little cave, and she wanted to get her picture made, so she climbed up in there to get her picture made, and when she turned around, she was going to say, hey, take my picture. And there was a lady standing in her way, so she didn't get to. Anyway, we did not see her go up in that little crevice, and we had just walked past and just missed her. And so when she comes out, everybody's gone. And Laura, that's a scary feeling, isn't it? It's no fun to be lost. It is no fun to be all alone. You know, that's a horrible feeling. And I'm so glad that, you know, Jess and I were running and. A wonderful feeling when you're found. It's a wonderful thing. I was so happy that we found our daughter. And But it's wonderful. It's wonderful to be found by Christ. Amen. It's wonderful to have the fellowship with Christ. And honestly, sometimes in your life, you're going to feel all alone. But you can have that comfort when you hear the word from the Lord.
Yes.
I've been at times in my life, I've been places where I've never been, and I'm all by myself in a place where I'm far from home. But I can get my Bible, and I can read God's word. And hearing that word from the Lord,
Amen.
He's right there with me.
Amen.
And everything's just fine, and it's okay. If you read Doreen Dibler's book, Things Unseen, she was a prisoner of war at a World War II concentration camp. Great, great read if you ever get a chance to read it. And in the whole book, she talks. She just has this conversation with the Lord the whole time. She's talking to the Lord. And in the book, you have this picture in your mind. You picture a prison cell with her in this prison cell, and Jesus is right there with her. And he was. Because it's just constantly on her. But we have the benefit of the resurrection is a removal of loneliness. The second thing I want you to see in the benefit of the resurrection is a forgiveness of sin.
Amen.
The second meeting I believe Christ had was a private meeting that he had with Peter. If we look on down here in our passage, let's look on over to Luke chapter 24. This is kind of towards the end of the passage. We're going to get to this passage in a minute, but on the passage on the roads to Emmaus, in verse number 34, the Bible says, it talks about these two disciples that were going to Emmaus. They went back to Jerusalem. They got with the other disciples, and it says, saying, "The Lord is risen indeed, and hath appeared unto Simon." Now, that's interesting, isn't it? Jesus appeared unto Simon. We see Simon is kind of singled out in the resurrection story. Simon Peter, that same person, Simon Peter. So if you look in Mark chapter 16, in verse number 7, when the angels of the Lord are talking to the women that come to the grave, what do they tell the women? They says, "Hey, go tell his disciples," and it says, "and Peter." He singles out Peter. If you look in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, in verse number 5, Paul is talking about the eyewitness accounts of the resurrection. Paul says he was seen of Cephas, that's Peter, and then of the 12. And so Jesus, why does Jesus take a private trip to Peter? Why does he focus? Why does he have an isolated trip to Peter? Why does he spend that extra time with Peter and giving Peter the charge in John chapter 21? Peter, do you love me? Feed my sheep. Peter, do you love me? Feed my lambs. And you understand, it was a couple days earlier that Peter denied Christ. Peter, he really blew it. He lost his testimony. He lost confidence in the other people that he was ministering with. He completely blew it. And so that's what happened. And you know, Christ goes to him and he wants to restore Peter. Isn't that wonderful?
Yeah.
Have you ever done something in your life that you thought you would never do? Have you ever said, "I will never do that thing," and then you did that thing? A lot of times it's right in a spiritual, when God is doing something, there's a spiritual victory taking place. That's when a failure like that will often happen. And when those kinds of things happen, it rocks you. I mean, I'll tell you, church, I've seen God do some wonderful things in my life, but my life is really plagued by lots of failures. It really is. And those things will get to you. And a lot of times when God is working in your life, God is using you in your life, and that's when the devil will come to you and he'll throw that in your face. And he'll say, "Hey, you remember when you did that thing?" And he'll try to just destroy your confidence, try to just remove you from whatever you're doing, and he'll try to tell you, you know, he'll try to make you believe a lie that you have no business doing this right now. You shouldn't even try. That's what the devil wants to do. He wants to make you ineffective. But God wants to use you. God wants to use sinners saved by grace. God comes in and picks up all the pieces and puts them together and makes something beautiful. God sees a diamond in the rough. God doesn't see our past, but see, he sees our potential. And God looks past our faults and our failures, and it's a wonderful thing. And he comes to Peter, and he restores Peter. And he comes in here, and he says, "Peter, you know," and so there's just this wonderful thing. And I'm so glad. Can you imagine
Peter, he's thinking that night as he wept, he's wishing he could go back and make it right, but he couldn't go back. He could not change the past. But now Jesus is dead. He lost his chance to be there for Christ. And can you imagine how happy he was when, number one, he saw Jesus? The resurrected Christ gives us a chance at forgiveness. And then number two, even more important, this is what really gets me, is Jesus wanted to see him. Jesus pursued Peter. Jesus is pursuing you this morning. And whatever it is that you're struggling with, whatever it is in your past, you can make that right. You can make that Christ, because Jesus, he rose from the dead. Jesus had victory over sin. He had victory over death. And in Christ, we can have victory over sin. We can have forgiveness of sin. And that's a wonderful thing. And then the third benefit I want you to see here is the enablement of understanding. And we're going to look here in Luke chapter 24. We're going to look in our earlier passages here. This is when Jesus joins these men on the Emmaus Road, and they're talking about current events. They just saw Christ get crucified, and they can't believe when Jesus joins them. Jesus asks them what they're talking about, and they're like, haven't you heard? Have you had your head in the sand? Did you not? This was big news in Jerusalem that Jesus had been crucified, and we're like the same way. We like to talk about current events, don't we? Every time we get together, a lot of men, we talk about current events and what's going on. And these two men are doing the same. They're discussing the situation, and Jesus draws alongside of them, and he helps them interpret current events. And a lot of times people know what is happening, but a lot of times people don't have a good interpretation of what is happening. And I like to have counselors in my life to help me interpret, what is happening. And sometimes things happen, and I'm just, I'll be kind of like, what happened? What happened right there? What was that all about? And so it's good to have, the Bible says there's safety and a multitude of counselors. And it's a wonderful thing. It's difficult when we lack understanding, but it's wonderful when the light bulb comes on and we understand. And that is a wonderful thing. And the Bible says that, or God says the Bible is spiritually discerned. And have you ever met somebody that knows just enough Bible to be really dangerous? A lot of cults, they know parts of the Bible, and they take parts out of context and just build an entire doctrine upon one little part out of context, and that's a very dangerous thing. But we not only have the Bible, but inside of us we have the author that is living inside of us. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And Christ, when he died on the cross, he gave us a comforter, and we're filled we're indwelled with the Holy Spirit. Our body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. When we get saved, the Holy Spirit indwells in us, and the Holy Spirit will teach us all things. And so that is a wonderful thing. And with the help of the resurrected Christ, you can understand the Bible. Without this, you cannot. You really cannot understand it. And so that's what's going on here. These disciples, they cannot understand this thing. And again, they're thinking in verse 19, it says, and they said to him concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet of mighty indeed and word before God and all the people, and talks about how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be crucified to death and have crucified him. And look in verse 21. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And besides all this, today is the third day since these things were done. And so it talks about the certain women which were early at the sepulchre. They found not his body. they had a vision of angels which said he was alive. And they cannot understand these things. They're trying to figure this out. And I want you to see what Christ does in verse number 27. The Bible says, "In beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in the scriptures the things concerning himself." At the resurrected Christ, all these prophecies of the Old Testament, all these things come together This is what the Old Testament's talking about. Jesus is the one. Amen. He is the Messiah. Yep. The whole Bible comes to Christ. He is the pinnacle. He is the person. It is all about the gospel. Everything points, and Jesus does that. He goes back to the Old Testament. He expounds and says, hey, all these things in the Old Testament, all these prophecies that you're studying and you know, this is me. I'm the fulfillment of all these things. And so we have this understanding, and it's wonderful to have an understanding. If you've ever been in a spiritual fog and you're not really sure what to do, and then you call upon the name of the Lord, you have a good time of prayer. And because of that risen Christ, we have Jesus living in us. We have the Holy Spirit that can teach us all things, and we can have our eyes opened. And that's a wonderful thing. To have understanding. We would not have that without the resurrected Christ. And then the last benefit we're going to look at here is the elimination of worry. We see these disciples from the Emmaus Road. They come and they came back in verse 35. It says, and they told what things were done in the way and how he was known of them in breaking bread. Or verse 33 says, and they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them. So they go back to this room in Jerusalem. The disciples are there together. And in verse 36, and the Bible says, and as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, peace be unto you. Isn't that wonderful? They're all in a room. They're secluded. And Jesus walks in and says, peace be unto you. You don't have to worry, church.
Yes.
You don't have to worry. And you don't have to live a life of being conquered. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, fear is gone.
That's right.
Isn't that a wonderful truth? Amen. That's a wonderful truth. I'm so glad that we have victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. And, you know, if you look over in the book of Romans, it talks about that peace that Jesus gives. And the one, there's a couple different types of peace in the Bible. The first type of peace that we get with Christ is we get peace with God. The Bible says in Romans chapter 4, verse 24, but for us also to whom it being imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Romans 5, 1, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you have peace with God this morning? Have you ever been justified? Have you ever saw yourself as a sinner and accepted Christ as your Savior? You can do that this morning. That is God's gift to you. He died on the cross for you. He was buried and rose again the third day. That's the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's the message we preach here and all over the world. And it gets the job done. And then, secondly, not only the peace with God, but we have the peace of God. The peace of God. And that's a wonderful thing. Paul talks about the peace of God in Philippians chapter 4. And be careful for nothing, but with everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. What are you struggling with today? Why don't you take it to the Lord? You serve a risen Savior. Just give it to him, casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you, and he will give you the peace of God that passeth all understanding. I'm so glad that we serve a risen Christ. We have a future. We're alive through Christ. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. I thank you so much for being here this morning. It's a wonderful time we get to celebrate together, and thank you for your kind attention. I'm going to turn this back over to Pastor Tyler.
As Miss Anna begins to play here in just a moment, I want to give you an opportunity. Number one, if you're here this morning and you don't know the Lord, what a great day to come to know him as we remember his resurrection. If you don't know him, don't leave this morning without making things right. You say, well, maybe I'll get saved at 11. You may not make it to the 11 a.m. service. Now's the time, the Bible says. But if she begins to play, the altar's open. Maybe you're here this morning.